Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
understanding quantum mechanics, as you will have followed doing programming, building robots, doing podcasts, all focused on understanding quantum mechanics. And surely we've understood quantum mechanics, we're using it. There's nothing new anyone could possibly add. However, I've sort of had a more Tom Hanks survivor experience in terms of my education. So I was educated in the classical way, where we don't understand quantum mechanics, and I've slowly understood quantum mechanics. And then there's sort of been the equivalent to a devastating bushfire for me, cognitive bushfire. I've had heart and brain things, and slowly crawled back. And a lot of people have been with me as I've begun podcasting, reading articles, slowly increasing my cognitive ability. And if you'd like it, there's been the bushfire through, and now the rebuild. And it's a sort of a strange here out in Australia, and it's been a week of rain, and everything's back to its green. The birds are here, but what happened is that the insect had stopped making noise after severe drought for a couple of months. The insects, this is a fan club, the insects were more quiet. You can possibly hear them about the place. The few cicadas, I don't know how they've come out of the ground to recuperate. I'll talk a bit about the sort of extraordinary rebound from bushfires that you see in Australia. It's probably something you wouldn't expect or see from overseas, but the garden's green, the grasses are growing again, except the people who've put in European grass with fertiliser, their grass is dead as a doornail. They've had luxuriant grass in front of them, sort of offering me a bit of advice, which of course I've been too poor, too stupid to follow, and of course their grass is all dead, so haha. Okay, but similar sort of things happen with quantum mechanics as bushfire in terms of rebuilding my memory. And of course, when you sort of in the fog saying, oh, I'm going to rebuild this bridge, okay, hang on, this bridge, this thought that I had or was trained, that doesn't go anywhere, that's actually useless. So I had a lot of this useless memory with me, which are a bit shattered, and it's sort of, you come to rebuild and you sort of rebuild it sort of fireproof. And that's what's happening in Australia. It's all the houses which can burn are burning down pretty flat, and they're building, replacing them with more fireproof houses, or they're changing the way they're fighting fires. And so as in the rebuild, you sort of rebuild it in a different way. And so I've rebuilt it in a different way, and sort of coming back to your knowledge, you say, oh, hang on, I recall that that's not right. And indeed, you think about it, and indeed the way you taught was not right, and you no longer got the basis, the bridge is burnt, you've no longer got the social basis to believe that electrons are small, or believe this, or believable model, and all that type of stuff, all that's been a bit burnt, and you come back a different way, and you build a few quantum mechanics experiments to describe it, and then slowly push through and remember, oh, hang on, it's not just SU3 symmetry, it's SU2 symmetry. So these diagrams, these descriptions, well-intentioned, majority, 90, 100% of people reading them believe it, but they're wrong. And you sort of, it's sort of this amazing thing that as you're abandoned, part of being abandoned is being isolated and being by yourself, and you can either crack and fold up, or you can just you can't regroup by yourself. I'm sort of an individual regrouping and going through, and so part of the long hard slog is learning how to write papers again. So there's memorizing things, memorizing wave functions again, memorizing the periodic table, going through differential equations, slowly going through equations, upgrading things, and you come across things you knew you could do before. Gosh, this is like Bayesian probability and all those theorems. You know the results of some of the theorems, but the actual theory, or at least the theory where it's described, is a bit mind-bending. It's full, sort of, it's a bit like classic rehab. You have to try and walk with the two rails either side, and you do it, and people around you say, well, not that everyone else, no one else can do it, but people sort of clap your hands at you. You walked across the room, and you do the same feat in the shopping centre, and people look at you, and you realise it's not there. So it's a little bit like that going through. So, which is nothing for people pulling off research papers. I've sort of this double position in terms of I've been parachuted into quantum mechanics, and my radio has been burnt, and my homeland in classical physics has been torched and blown up, and you're by yourself, and you're slowly working out your way back, and you're trying to, you can build a few experiments like the Einstein-Haas experiment, and slowly go forward, and slowly build up a network of friends who know that you're not going to be big news, but they also know that you're not going to take up their time with a flight of fancy of fig jam, fucking great to start seeing. And part of it is running a research paper, and it's taken a long time to realize that various equivalent of oil refineries or entire industrial sections of thought are pretty much torched, and you go and write, and I got the thing of slowly constructing and writing a paper by writing. I've got the paragraphs down to nice and short. I'm now getting ideas in one paragraph, and the sequence of paragraphs and layers of ideas for the people to understand, and realizing that I can't, if I'm communicating to a non-scientific audience, I've got to have a non-scientific style of writing. It's sort of pretty, sounds obvious, but it's sort of very hard to go across. And eventually realizing that what you write is just a scaffold of crap words, and like, say I have write a sentence, the actual final structure is got a topologically refolded, and the actual terms I use are successively replaced by even better terms to get through. So this is going forward, and you strike along certain analogies, and at the moment I'm realizing how to support an analogy, place an analogy, and then develop an analogy. So it's not just, before I was just thinking, put in the analogy and let the people, you actually develop structures leading into the analogy, and then develop the analogy. And one of the ways of doing the teaching of quantum mechanics is saying, let's consider a whole series of steps. One is, we're going to think of the future compared to the present, and we're going to be teaching in the future, we're going to be teaching differently from the present. As an alternative, we teach in future the way we teach in present, or we teach in future a new way. You can choose it. And so this is avoiding the argument, saying there are two options, we're going to consider both. Then considering the future, I know this is a horrible step. It's like the past, the present. We can learn doing that. We can sort of get a greater understanding of what's going across. And then I mentioned flying. And then I mentioned the fact that if you have a new idea, you don't introduce it into a cockpit. People are involved. And indeed, when you're watching things, although it is based on logic, it's rehearsed. They're just rehearsing actions. So It's really an informed play, expertly done, rehearsed actions, so you can't really introduce your idea into that. So that's using that analogy of the aircraft, the cockpit, and your ideas going ahead. Then I put forward the idea that our education system is not getting to quantum mechanics. So they've got all the feel of a logical system, like an airport, and you've got the, I made it much shorter than this, an aircraft lounge, aircraft on the tarmac, boarding calls, people getting on things, but they never fly anywhere. They go out and taxi along the runway and then come back again. And then put people through customs, stamp their passport books, say they've travelled, but indeed they've never really understood it. And then I've said that quantum mechanics is like a destination with no one arriving, understanding it's sort of the tumbleweed growing through it. So this is learning about sentence writing, the ideas, structure through flow structure, and then analogy, treating analogies correctly as a vehicle. Yeah. Are we going? Are you going soon, or are you just are the girls just going up to? Who's going up to the?
I'm not going.
Okay. So this is just on the side. The family has what can I say? Rabbits are a pest. People who love rabbits, and I don't know. Rabbits are illegal in some states, and they've been a source of food in Australia. When there's been a depression, we've just shot them. Yeah, people love the rabbits, and so what happens here is that there's this Facebook network of rabbits. Rabbits plus the internet has meant that they've got this gifted life that these rabbits are really loved and passed forward, and we're given this particular rabbit to look at. But it's very much the family group of girls, daughters looking at the rabbit. And the thought that insensitive fathers are not to be involved. It's part of the ambience, the atmosphere of Fantastic Rabbit. The fathers sitting back while the children smoking a pipe, while the children really understand the true spirit of things. But of course, at the end of the day, I do a lot of looking after the rabbit, a lot of actual inspections of them, and caring for them, or trying to care for them. As with all things like quantum mechanics and rabbits, it's infinitely complicated, i.e. that rabbits don't eat hay, they have oat and hay, they don't eat lettuce because it gives them diarrhea. Yeah. They do eat carrots, but not too many carrots, because carrots are bad for the teeth, apparently, or sugar. All this complexity. So, and it's rather hard. I just said goodbye to my family. Four youngest son, wife, two daughters going off to pick up this rabbit called Happy Face. Look, getting back to it, there's so many layers to this. So this is the really amazingly understanding an analogy as a wave function rather than something classical analysis, analogy which sort of stops, starts, and uses its analogy which goes through it. So this is an analogy of the education department as the airport. And when you really come to think of it, Plato and the analogy of the ship and the cave and analogies within in things like this, which is a really important thing. It's a little lost art. So the analogy of the airport and our current education system of these planes that taxi around with their pilots not knowing how to fly, so they just taxi around and come back, and they have duty free and customs, and certain people are deemed not to be successful flyers, which means that the emphasis on the risk of not being able to fly. You sort of learn to fly by not being cut off the flight, off the plane. And then if we extend this analogy, that in the airport you have these people there, and some people look out the window and they see a group of people on the tarmac with these small model planes, which actually do take out into the air. And these are the models that I've produced, which actually show quantum mechanics, which start to explain things, expand it. And people say the idea suddenly could potentially penetrate into the idea. See the analogy using there. The other thing is that the people within the airport, the administration, stuff like that, will say, okay, you'll have a you can do this, but we're going to set the agenda. You've got to say where you think you can go, where we can't go. What do you think is fundamentally wrong with what we're doing, and how on earth could you afford to do any solution? These sort of three barriers. Now, for the where you can go, where I can go with the modified teaching. So the modified teaching is basically experiment wrapped with smart technology. So the experiment knows where it is, can ship itself wherever it was around, once around the world, can recharge itself, do all of these things, actually become a driverless car of experiments. That's putting, $30 worth of technology around, basically breaking apart a mobile phone, putting it around an experiment. So that's the thing on the tarmac. But what eventually I can show is the three aspects of science, which I think are missing. And the thing is that if you describe the science itself, it's sufficiently subtle to be complex to explain. But the subtlety is that, one, that an atom is more stable with an extra electron. Most atoms are more stable with one extra electron. That's called electron affinity, the basis of all chemistry. Hang on, if you don't explain that, you're explaining it with a lot. It's a lot more treacherous path. It's a lot more taxing. A lot of time taxing with that. The thing is, an electron is bigger than a proton. That's the second thing. That electrons are these large, fluffy wave functions. But the wave function describes is our saying a function isn't basically equivalent to a number. So it's sort of like it's almost like saying it's the red is a red colour. So the colour refers to our interpretation of the colour, but it's something more to it. So wave function really isn't the best one. I'm not going to get on it. The other thing is about all clocks Doppler shifting as you move them, such that if they move away from you, they move back in time. That's not taught at school. Those three things we're going to do. And we're saying the proposition, it would be better if you could. At the moment, the view is that it's not the best, it's not optimal, it's best to keep what we're doing, and we've kept that idea for 80 years or so since we've known these new advances. We've kept the faith, and one view is that you can keep the faith forever. We really can't debate that, but depending on how that debate goes, if you're going to go on the new advance, you're going to teach quantum mechanics and general relativity eventually, you want to go this direction. So, yeah, if people are really aggressive, there's not much you can do. If people are reasonable, they might listen. It's not a win argument, because we're not in the power structure. We're outside the power structure. Like anyone running through, like a visitor to another, say you enter a country which is going on a full civil war, and the group of people bursts into you at a tourist site, and they come around and round up everyone and put them in a battle of a truck and execute them. You could say, well, that's not good, but you're a visitor, you can't go into their time frame, their frame of reference, and say that these people, you know, you have to kill them for this particular reason. You can understand that these people are believing that, and they're doing that, and it's legally right, and it's all that type of stuff. But an observer status says, well, that's the way the civil war is going at the moment, let's, for purely speculative reasons, let's say that we can actually teach quantum mechanics, and if you could, you could do these things, but by all means, if you believe that it's best to go around rounding up scientists in the middle of the night and executing them to keep it, and actually definitely executing people saying that it's similar to the church of the Renaissance or Middle Ages, which would round up heretics and burn them, you know, really, we're not in that status. This is the entire thing of science, is that nature is your witness, whereas it hasn't always been political power. This is a very interesting time when you're reading the Bible. You read back in the Bible, there's a time where they do everything by straws. You say, what do we do now? And they roll the die to see what they do. And there's been these cases where people haven't used a social structure, they've used a random structure, a parasocial structure. And from every once in a while, they've gone into this. So it's not true that we have to use the parastructure. We can actually migrate across it. I'm saying that we could migrate across into a science structure. The science structure would say, let's run things by trends, looking at trend graphs and making basic observations and trying to stitch that in. So an example would be, a basic observation is that if we all continue to our current dietary love of meat, we're going to kill the fat planet. If we become vegetarian, more vegetarians can live on the planet than meat eaters. If we meat eaters, eating meat equals war and starvation. Eating vegetables, so one of the things we can make that statement to actually translate, allow science to become into framing a social question, rather than societal structure framing a social question. So you've got that second thing is the first thing that the airport people say is, you know, where are you going to get it? What are we doing fundamentally wrong? Now, there's two issues. That is the statement, what are you doing fundamentally wrong, rather than what is fundamentally wrong? Because in all cases where there's a shift, where you have taxi drivers and Uber, the taxi drivers will say, this is our way of life, this is the way it should be, we've made this investment, and Uber just comes in, and eventually it swaps over. People, the market makes the choice for them. So it's, no matter what your theory is, and this is very much with the teaching profession, they say, this is the way we've taught it, we make our profession from it, you come in with this other thing, we're going to use the levers of power, which we use all the time, in regulating ourselves, we're going to use that against you. So there's these threats and stuff like that. I was trying to think also, like print media and Facebook. There's people who rail against it, find Facebook as evil and stuff like that, and it is. But at the end of the day, the issue isn't people's preference for a particular type of information and the logic associated with it. That's downstream from the actual user. So the person really wants to be able to basically get a low-cost trip anywhere, anytime, and be able to use the driver, which is rated, and the driver rates them. It's a sort of there's these parallel things which are just not in the taxi system. and eventually taxi drivers who are out of the system have come to understanding, come to a belief section here, and they can say, well, there's this, but also people wanted this aspect, and they really weren't concerned about the downstream system. People wanted to be information quickly, and they wanted to write their own information. They wanted to be part of the publication process, democratic process. So Facebook happened. So if you're in the print media, you can bemoan it. You can use your levers that you've used traditionally to stop and rally and inject an ever decreasing amount of cash to keep you surviving. Nostalgism. I think education's got sort of a bad case of nostalgia for the way things were taught. But this, with print media, it's ultimately what people wanted to do. So ultimately what we say here is that we're going to say that people are going to value true knowledge over their ability to operate in your system. In your system is, if you learn your knowledge, you can operate in your system. And people have to choose between that and true knowledge. And at the end of the day, it's more democratic. That the true knowledge, which is serviced by experts, directly by experts, as opposed to certified knowledge, which gives you credentials, serviced by the taxi driver, print media, teachers of it. But then again, you're coming into it to try and say what is the fundamental block. It's quite easy to see. You can see a school teacher cannot teach quantum mechanics for a particular set of reasons. And the reason, this is the key ass aspect of it, the reason it is a component from how you manage the sort of boundary layer. So education does it really, really well in this knowledge which you can imagine. Like you can imagine a big dinner. You can imagine a cow. There's other things which are intelligible, and that is things which are true. You can use, but you can't. At the extreme, you can't imagine. So that would be the square root of -1. You cannot imagine it, no matter how much I describe it. There's no exact. If there was an example, someone had a kit, a mathematical kit, which did I for you, and you actually understood I, and actually trumped people the long tradition of hundreds of years of experience of I as being intelligible. So there are certain things which are intelligible, but not imaginable. So the electron, quantum mechanics, they're fully aspects. They're intelligible, but it's strictly unimaginable. So much so that, say, an electron spins, but it doesn't rotate. There you go. That's. I'm not allowed to imagine. Yeah, you're allowed to understand it intellectually. Intelligible, imagine. And if you have a network of I show you one block, I show you two blocks, I show you blocks on top of each other, this sequential imagination, which I describe imagination type, imagination 1.0, it's all based on physical stuff. I can pick up, I can taste. It's all sensorily sensory linked imagination. And if you do that, you're obviously going to not ever cross the boundary into what is intelligible. And traditionally, if you do that statement, you can with confidence say that no one can teach quantum mechanics, because quantum mechanics cannot fully be imagined. A quantum mechanical wave function does things which do not happen in the real in the macroscopic world. They are complex. They have complex wave functions. They have positive and negative existence. They are waves. They can actually float through each other. Like the nucleus is actually in the electron. Some of the electron is sitting in the nucleus. They don't have surfaces. All these things which are, you can image them by the negative. You can actually say they don't have a surface. You can imagine a surface. You can flick that off. So that's important. Now the issue here is that imagination is the actual feedstock of education. Imagination 1.0. We've got imagination 2.0 to pull up to explain quantum mechanics. And an example would be that all atoms, all electrons, are pretty much the same volume, more or less. Yeah, full stop. All electrons in the periodic table to an order. Yeah, in fact, 1 to 100 is pretty much the same volume, and they all slip inside this. Genie, magic lantern. If you imagine the occupation of an electron inside, it's a genie or multiple genies inside a magic lantern. You can rob it and you can get them out. Now you can imagine that, but it's that imagination is fantasy imagination. It's locked in, and we're going to say that as part of that is key, but the key to doing to using imagination 2.0 is that expert. You need the experts in it to ensure that it's not, that can flow many different ways. If it's locked to experience, it's the experience is the expert. And we're saying, well, we're going to add to the experience essential expert, the common sense expert. We're adding common sense plus expert guidance, and the expert guidance is built in there. And the expert is a science expert, that is a peer-reviewed, transparent one with has got no motive. That is disinterested, and they can actually add imagination 2.0. So your aircraft can't take aloft because your imagination is being throttled, and it means that by actually going around and going and saying look out the window, it doesn't look high, you're not high, you inadvertently lack of knowledge, you think for where you should be using imagination 2.0, you using imagination 1.0 is equivalent, I say, to putting a virus into people's heads, and eventually the operation system crashes. Now the interesting thing here is the amount of sophistication to understand an explanation as a combination of imagination 1.0, imagination 2.0, and intelligibility, that people progress up into the intelligibility zone and back again. And the realization there, and to actually explain it as part of the airport analogy. The airport analogy, if you'd like, is a conceptual, as far as I can see, as a quantum physicist, as a bit of a wave function. In terms of it's got boundaries, you can reuse it, you can reprogram it, you can reframe it, you can expand it, support it, and then use it as. I don't know whether that's it more as an idea node to go through, which is really interesting to go through. And you can see slight notes, slight threads, reading books and films where they they have an idea node, it's reference, and people feel this is really great, but you've really got to use idea nodes to the maximum, which is so the airport is not your students, your teachers are not in an airport. And traditionally what's happened is that the user, Plato, has said, I want you to imagine this situation, and then people freely guided imagination situation, and then at the end realize that there's a similarity between a ship and a state. Now, the difference here is that the entrance, people are told ahead of time that, a spoiler alert, they're given that the airport is an analogy to education, and then coming forward. So it's not that this is a breakthrough, but in this case, people are not a ship. A ship is not a state. People aren't going in an airport. But they, in essence, the guide to higher thought through this imagination 2.0. But getting back to it, you've got the third thing of cost. And essentially, if you take the antagonistic thing that the checkbooks are closed, the doors are slammed, you're on your own, well, there is perhaps a solution, and this is engineering yourself. So you can get the Arduino circuits, you can buy the GPS, you can put the programs there, you can program everything, and you can actually get a fraction of the community which can do it. So maybe 1% of that community, whatever it is, they will have enough to produce one prototype, and that 1% can grow up to 3%, and that's more than enough to take it over. This is saying that there is this manufacturer route where the finance is done all its different ways. So that this is these are a rites of passage, you know, what the entries regimes are, what new can you teach, and then you can say, well, is this destination a legitimate destination? It is legitimate because it explains chemistry and general relativity down the track. Then you can say the middle bit, is there a problem with our teaching? Yes, there is. It's like this, and you can't modify your teaching to do imagination 2.0 because you need experts in an expert in the loop. That's a fundamental understanding, and this is an understanding a post transition understanding. People obviously have a pre transition understanding, they know they can't communicate it, but they're designed for it anyway. Finally, is that the final thing is that you're never going to afford it. It's going to be far too expensive. People are never going to be able to afford computers. I think when the PC came out, the idea of a PC was anathema. People said, you know, people that were the mainframers and the PCs. And of course, what's happened is everyone's got mobile phones. It's become increasingly cheap, and this is simply because of the two levels of printing revolution. So initially, before print, we had spoken word, and people spoke and were programmed inside their head. The program happened in their head, so people didn't tend to read themselves, they always read aloud. And if they said an oath, that speaking was an oath which programmed their behaviour. It was, you know, if I swear a solemn oath that I will not buy discount food from Aldi, go over and you taste it and it's better, that instantly dissolves it. In the ancient time, if you took an oath, that would be it. You wouldn't, there'd be no processing, wouldn't occur after you've taken the oath. The thing is that then printing began, and now what we have now done is now got digital printing, so I can digitally print a program. So it's different. Before, I could do a word, write a play, it could move a person, woo a lover and stuff like that. I can write something and it can actually move a piece of machinery. In fact, I can write machinery to write things. This is machine learning. So that's the print revolution means programming. So not only can I produce thousands of copies of the same thing, it's there. The other print revolution is in the actual printing technique, the microlithography for making, I can print circuits. So not only can I print the ideas, I can print the circuits, and I can mass produce them on an incredibly small scale. And then it's coming along. So I have now the mechanism to get a low-cost expert in the room and produce these things. And it's no point angry. I just think technologically, when this happens all the time, we come up with an idea, but society itself needs to evolve these things to have the idea coming up. Evidently so, it is evident that quantum mechanics is too advanced for the education system to teach it. I think that's at the end of the day. One could say, well, if we advance the teaching system, eventually 1% of the population will be able to, from 0%, 1% will be able to produce quantum mechanics demonstrations. From 0%, we might have 1 or 2% in one generation being able to write or read quantum mechanics. Quantum mechanics is a new type of literacy, a literacy of similar to reading and writing. Initially, only the lords could read and write, and then the monks did it, and eventually it became the mechanism of power. It may not be the mechanism of power, but that may happen, that people eventually will have to realise that the route forward is there. So initially, reading and writing was just a huge difficulty in understanding, but now people get pleasure of it, and they can use their reading and writing to create on top of it. So quantum physics may be this thing that people can understand, and then they'll be able to see analogies between quantum wave functions and social things. I myself believe that quantum physics is a very feminine structure of solutions, looking at these solutions overlaying. So you've got personalities and a whole group, and there's people, I tend to say, well, I find that women say, look, you can't do this, you can't dress that way, you can't speak that, you can't give them that. These are all boundary conditions. Like, the wave function has to be zero here. Right, and you find, whatever you do, you've got to do your solution that fits in there, and why it has to fit in there because of all these other wave functions. It's sort of like this really complex Fermi wave function. So I think eventually, if I say that, no one understands what I'm saying, but it's a very peaceful way of looking at it. And then it allows you, from that vantage points, to see, oh, Aladdin, that actually is a bit of a way that it's imagination 2.0. It's alive and well, but it's incubating off on the side. People are working out how to do it. It's like they know how to look after their farm animals and but they don't necessarily know how to look after their fellow human beings in a way, in terms of that they would, you know, so for some reason, I don't know, there's this, solutions don't come so quickly. So my overall view is that quantum mechanics was an advance, and it's an advance where we have come a long way. We've built solid-state things, we've built computers, drugs, understanding a whole heap of things based on quantum mechanics. But we haven't, the one thing we haven't done is we haven't upgraded our education system. And once you say that, you can therefore have that as your trig point, your long-distance point, that we're going to upgrade the education system based on that, and therefore start building these ideas. And it just so corresponds that I haven't done that as this great blinding light saying, oh, we need this upgrade. What's happened to me is that I've basically had a cognitive bushfire and had to rebuild, regrow, pretty much like the Australian bush. Things are beginning to sprout. Things I can't do. I can't get the old steam mills running again. There's certain things that I know that one doesn't necessarily want to divert the creek for irrigation. It's good to have environmental flows. But I know that in advance, as sort of a bias. I suppose I've got a quantum bias, a regrowth. And so the regrowth saying, oh, well, I could get back in the classroom, the way is barred. The people, there are angry people standing in the way. Won't let it happen. And there's no point in getting upset about it, because it's very much like a UN peacekeeper coming in, going, right, well, you know, it's like a bit like Sarajevo, a bit like a defunct airport in Sarajevo, with certain people being trucked away and aircraft not leaving. That's what it's like. And there's no point in actually going up to someone who is in the middle of loading people up on a truck and taking them off and not getting on the aircraft. They're not going to be interested in what you have to say. You just have to get back out there and fly these little prototypes up and running. So I'm back again, and that's 47 minutes of how to teach quantum mechanics. And I think I do understand. I've got this huge task ahead of me of manipulating an analogy in such a way that it stays afloat. It's sort of like a kitty hawk, where the analogy is flying 20 metres and I've got to get it up such that it's an F-111 analogy with afterburners, carrying nuclear-capable analogy. There you go. Thanks a lot for listening. I'll get into reading some New Scientist.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.